Take your Bible, 2 Kings. 2 Kings, that's after 1 Kings. If you have a Schofield Bible, that's on page 434. If you don't, things are tough all over. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. Alrighty. Let's look at the 4th chapter and read the first verse. You follow along. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. This woman came to Elisha, and she said, Elisha, you know, my husband was a good man. He loved the Lord, but he didn't die solvent. He died broke. And what's more, he died and we're in great debt. Anybody here in debt? Okay. But she said he was in debt, and what's the creditors are come to take my two boys and make them work as bond slaves. What should I do? What should I do? All of us here have been faced with crucial issues in our lives as far as money goes, haven't we? And the economy is a mess. And a lot of people are really hurting. We've been driving around down to Greenville and here and there and everywhere, and there's so many stores which are empty. And there's so many people who are hurting financially. It affects their whole being. What should I do? Well, going on the second verse, and Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. I assume that would be olive oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Wow. I imagine going up and down the street, borrowing empty vessels would have caused quite a stir. How about you in your neighborhood if you did that? I imagine the neighbors would start to yak and wonder, what in the world is going on? And so she did. What do you have in your house? What do you have in your life? I prayed that we'd be better walking advertisements of the grace of God. How many people here could do better for Christ? We all could, couldn't we? We all could do better. And that should be our goal, shouldn't it? Everything that we do in our lives should be for the purpose of letting people know Jesus Christ. He's the key to every problem we have, isn't he? The more we lean on him, the more he will meet our needs. You know, people, folks, God never called anybody to do something they cannot do. Let me run that by you one more time. God never calls us to do anything that we cannot do. He knows you. He knows your abilities. He knows your capabilities. He knows your circumstances. He knows everything about you. And what's wonderful about it, he loves us with an unconditional love. Unconditional love. That's a scarce commodity today. A lot of people say, well, if you'll do this, I'll love you. No, 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 no. That doesn't work. God loves us with an unconditional love. There's a lot of Bible examples that prove whatever you have is enough. If you want to title this time together, it's say just enough. Just enough. You say, well, friend, I don't have an awful lot. And he may not give you as much grace and strength and capabilities and talents as he might a missionary. We came down to Greenville the other day to see our oldest daughter and her husband back to the field of New Guinea. 7,000 feet up in the bush. We've been there. It is an interesting situation. If you've never been in a third world country, it is quite a revelation. It takes a lot of grace. He may not give you the grace and the strength that he has given such men in the past as, who would you say, Dwight L. Moody, Harry Ironsides, Finney, Billy Sunday, Bob Jones, John R. Rice, stalwart warriors of the faith. Dr. Ironside used to come to Bob Jones and for Bible conference, and sometimes he would have the message right after the lunch period. After you get through eating, what do you feel like doing, people? Yes, 4,000 of us sitting there, and bless his heart, he says, hey, you know, you fight it. You go, I see you've been there. But he would say, hey, kids, just put your heads down and rest and sleep for a few minutes, and then wake up, you'll be refreshed, and I probably haven't gone much further down the road. That endeared us to that man. Isn't it funny the things you remember? But he was a stalwart warrior of the faith. Did you ever hear of a man called Moses? Yeah, Moses. I'm not going to tell you anything this morning that you don't already know. But I'm going to preach to myself, if that's all right with you, because I feel like I'm probably almost normal. No preacher is fully normal. But Moses was quite a man. But he got a little, in Exodus 3 and 4, if you want to read about it later to review, he got out of fellowship. He tried to take it in his own hands to deliver his people. Remember, he saw an Egyptian beating up on an Israeli, and he killed him. And because of this, he ran for his life. And ended up on the backside of the desert, taking care of the sheep for his father-in-law, priest of Midian. And as he was there, he walked one day, and all of a sudden he looked over, and there was a bush that was on fire. But the thing about it, the bush wasn't burning up. That's kind of unusual. So he went closer to that bush, and a voice came out of that bush, take your shoes off, because you're standing on what kind of ground? Holy ground. And the voice was the voice of God, of course. And he told Moses, I've got a job for you. This is the vernacular interpretation. I've got a job for you. And he complained. I can't talk. Well, I'll send Aaron along to be your mouthpiece. He says, hey, they think I'm a double crosser. If I go down there, they'll take my life. He had all kinds of excuses for not doing what God wanted him to do. I've been a pastor for a long, long time. I could write a book on excuses I've heard. It would be a volume this thick. You know what an excuse is? An excuse is the skin of the truth, stuffed with lies, and no matter how you slice it, it's baloney. That's right. And we're filled with all kinds of excuses. But God was patient with him. And he said, he asked, Moses, what do you have in your hand? Nothing. Other hand, stupid. And he said, just a staff. He said, throw that staff on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and what happened, people? It became what? It became a snake. How many people love snakes? I don't like them. And Moses didn't either. And he said, feet don't fail me now. And he took off. And God said, grab that snake by the tail. He said, what did you say, Lord? I'm a little hard of hearing. Grab it by the tail. And so he grabbed it by the tail and it became a staff again. You see, God is a miracle-working God, isn't he? All you have to do is look around about you and you can see the evidence of God working. You know, if God has the man, what he has is enough. If God has the man, whatever he has is exactly enough to do what he wants him to do. How about David? You ever heard a guy by the name of David? David was a young guy, and the Philistines and the Israelite people, of course, under King Saul, they were on having a confrontation. One was on one hillside, another hillside, and you know the story. In the middle walked this big dude, Goliath, 9 feet 3 inches tall. I couldn't even reach his chin. And he was berating the children of Israel. And he was calling them sissies, and where is your king? Well, where was Saul? Well, Saul didn't, they said he didn't feel well today. And Goliath made the challenge, send out someone to battle with me. If they win, we'll be your slaves. But if I win, you'll be our slaves. What a deal. And the thing went on and on, day and day. And David, he was just a young lad. And his father had sent him with some lunch, some goodies, a care package, if you use, to give to his brothers who were in the army there with Saul. And David showed up, and there wasn't anything going on except this big dude walking out in the middle of the valley. Nothing irritates a boy who goes looking for a fight and there isn't one. You ladies would not understand that. David said, hey, why doesn't someone go out there and put that guy to sleep? Not in those words. And they said, well, little guy, why don't you do it? And I'm sure David responded, yeah, I've got 15 minutes. I'll go and do that. When Saul heard that he was serious, he calls David to his tent, and he put his helmet on, his coat of armor. Can you imagine that? If he hadn't had ears to hold the helmet up, it would have come right down over his head. It was way too much, too big. A point in case, folks, is that God made you as an individual. You're unlike anyone else. I've had fellas working for me during the years, and one young man, he thought that he'd like to be a preacher just like me. He flunked. He was a good man. God knows exactly your capabilities, and you're not like anyone else. And you're going to find out that God will bless you when you do what you're supposed to do. If he wanted to, can you imagine two Garys? I mean, can you? I'm going to get it after this. But or two of me, man, that'd be a tragic thing. Don't say amen, Carol. All righty. Anyway, be your own self. So David went out there, and on the way, of course, he picked up 5 stones from the brook. And he started towards Goliath. And Goliath said, was he mad? He was really mad. You send out this punk. He said, take one more step, and I'm going to take care of you. And David said, I got news for you, buddy. I'm not coming any closer. You see, Goliath had lifted up the visor on his helmet to get a better look at this kid. And that was the last mistake he made. You know the story. Around that sling went round and round and round, and it let go, and it hit old Goliath right smack in the middle of the forehead. And he went down. And David came and took Goliath's own sword and chopped his head off. You see, David used the talents that God had given him. Not a spear, but a sling and a stone. I don't know what your talents are. Everyone here has a talent, at least one of them, right? You could say amen to that. Yeah. All of us are exercising one talent right now. You know what that is? It's filling a chair. Some of us do it more adequately than others. But we're here because we want to know about the book. And I trust that's why you come to Sunday school. That's why you come to church. Is to learn more about the book that you might be more adequately prepared. Well, two questions, two things we should remember that David said to his own people. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Let's do something about it then. There are people in Johnson City and Kingsport and surrounding areas who have never heard about Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Never. You say it's impossible. Oh, no. Go out on visitation. You're going to find people who don't have a clue. The only way they've ever heard the name Jesus Christ is profanity. And who's supposed to tell them? Well, the pastor, that's his job. That's why we pay him big bucks, right? Book says that we train people for doing the ministry. That's our job as pastors, to point you in the right direction, to encourage you. And then to Goliath, he says, pooey, you come with a sword, I come in the name of the Lord God of hosts. And in John 6, Lord Jesus was preaching, and it passed lunchtime. And the people were getting hungry, and they didn't have enough money to go buy anything. But they said, there's a boy here who has what? What do you have? 5 loaves and how many? 2 fishes, yeah. Hey, that's one of the greatest miracles you've ever heard about. A boy that age still had his lunch. We were at Gene's house, and they have 6 children, and man, I've forgotten how much they can eat. Asher, he's just, what, 13, 14, 13 maybe? Tall as I am, he's a walking garbage can. He still had it. God knows what he's doing. Aren't you glad that he's a sovereign God? That he's in control? That there's nothing impossible with him? Down through the years, as I said, I've heard people tell me all kinds of excuses. Had a young man in Twin Falls, Idaho. He lived across the canyon where Evel Knievel jumped. Remember that? He was a dairyman, and he's also the Sunday school superintendent. And he came late one day, and I said, "All right, Elliot, how come you're late?" He says, "I couldn't get across the bridge." I said, "Couldn't get across the bridge?" He says, "No, it was covered with sheep." He was telling the truth. They had moved all the sheep from up in the mountains down to put them in a corral across the bridge. And you couldn't get a car across it. I says, "Good for you, Elliot." He later became a Baptist preacher. Excuses. So many people say, "Well, I can't. By God's grace, I can do what, people? Philippians? All things. Through whom? Through Christ, yes. Not in our own strength, but in His strength. Well, whatever you have is enough if God has you. Back to the widow then, quickly here. According, she said, Elisha said, "Borrow not a few." And she went and she borrowed all these vessels. And then he said, "Close the door and start filling up these vessels." And she started out, "Which one you want, Mom? Want this big one?" No. If anything like me, I would have started out with a teacup. How about you? Little faith. But they filled it up, and they filled it up, and they kept filling them up. She finally says, "Have another one." "There aren't any more, Mom. They're all filled up." Then she asked Elisha, "What should I do with all this oil?" He says, "Go sell it, pay your debts, and live off the rest." What do you think about that? Elisha had it right. According to your faith, friends, we have a God who is able to multiply and make much out of little. How about that backcountry fellow like John the Baptist? How do you like his attire, ladies? How about his diet, man? Locusts and wild honey. Not for me. I kind of like steak and potatoes. But he was used. How about Simon? Rough, tough, foul-mouthed Simon. God took him and made him the preacher on the day of Pentecost. Wow. How many people in this room can he use if they make themselves available? How many? All. If ever a nation ought to have faith in God, we're the ones, people. We live in the grandest, most wonderful country in all the world. Amen? But it sure is hurting because we as Americans have turned our backs on God. And you need to make yourself as a committee of one to make your life so shine that people may see your good works and glorify whom? God. That's what we should do. Our country had its beginnings, a terrible time. How many have ever been to Valley Forge? Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, anybody? Those people believed and they followed their leadership. Those people, those men camped there in the dead of winter. No shoes, just rags wrapped around their feet. They say Washington lost every battle but won the war because he had faith that they were doing the right thing. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, If you're sure that if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven, God has some great things for you. Great things. All we need to do is appropriate them, put feet to them, and God can use us. Said, my God shall supply all your needs. I can testify that he supplied all of our needs and a lot of our wants, too. How about you? Has he? Oh, my. And he's still in the business. Dr. Ironside, before he went to be with the Lord, was pastor of the great Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. You ever been there? Quite a building. He had a lady in his church which was a little unsettled mentally. That's nice, isn't it? One day she came to him and said, Dr. Ironside, I'm in real trouble. Two men follow me everywhere I go. I don't know what they are up to. I just can't get away from them. Dr. Ironside says, why don't you tell the police? She replied, why, they wouldn't believe me. Why not, he asked. I've never seen them. What do you mean? I just feel their presence. They duck into an open door and I turn around and look. And good Dr. Ironside began to smile and he said to her, why, bless your heart. You're the most fortunate lady I know. Oh, how wonderful. Don't you know who these men are? Why? No, do you? Yes, they're a friend of David's. David? Yes. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Folks, I've got offering to you this morning the assurance that whatever you have is enough because you have goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. Father, thank thee for encouraging me this morning. And I pray that you might use this time, might it bear fruit in the lives of these dear folks. In Jesus' name, amen.